our Notre Dame home game Saturday continues with WSBT Game Day, live from Ivy Court Inn and Suites. Here is your host, Evan Sharpley.
It's Saturday in the park. It's Saturday for pregame show.
That's right. We're back. It's the game day show with Evan Sharpley. The Fighting Irish are set to take on the USC Trojans tonight in Notre Dame Stadium. Kickoff is set for 7:42 p.m. The Trojans enter the contest with a record of 6-1, and Notre Dame comes in at 5-1 right now. And if this is your first time joining us for the game day show, this is all about setting the atmosphere, giving you a feel for the game day experience. We're going to talk with former Irish players, discuss X's and O's. Today, from the 1977 championship, national championship team, and celebrating their 40th reunion, we're going to have All-Americans Bob Golic, Ross Browner, Luther Bradley, and some other teammates as well. And then as we continue our memento for Coach Parsegian, we're also going to have All-American running back Nick Eddy, former outstanding and gritty linebacker from a more recent team, Jarrett Grace, is going to be
looking
on here.
Looking forward to it.
And then also we have the band Chicago and the current manager and former player Peter Chiavarelli. So if you're in the area, stop by Ivy Court Inn and Suites. We're live here right now. If you want some autographs, we've got autographs. We've got people coming around stopping by. Then we've also got the delicious Fisher's Tips and Chips barbecue is back.
Rob's here in the fish.
Rob's already here. He's ready to go. Well, and I'm next to my partner here, State Farm agent and producer Tim Growl. Are you well rested after the bye week? Did you have any injuries?
No.
You're mentally and physically ready to go.
Opening the refrigerator door back and forth and stuff. I think I dropped a bottle. I still use bottles and stuff too. So, but everything's okay. Everything's cool. I'm excited because I got to go out and see one of my favorites yesterday. I got invited out to the stadium by the group that I saw my very first concert at when I was 16. Yes, I was once a young little lad and stuff too. So we are just honored to have Peter Chiavarelli, the manager of Chicago, who just happened to be a player for Ira Parsegian too, and two of his band members, Trish and Wally. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys.
Guys, thanks so much for being here. Tim's kind of like a giddy schoolboy right now.
Candy shop, yeah, kid in the candy shop.
This is great. Well, talk to us so far about your experience here on campus this weekend and anything else that's going on. I know Tim said he was down there on the field. What did you guys have going on yesterday?
Well, actually, we had a run through with the marching band of our performance that'll happen today at halftime. And this evening at halftime. And we've been in town rehearsing, actually, for a project, an upcoming project. And it's been amazing to be here and watch just the energy, and the anticipation for this weekend and this game. I mean, it's really something. Really
Peter, I probably should know this. Just kind of tell us the backstory of how, how this all came together and now your role and what you're doing with the band.
Well, basically, it wasn't planned. When I was a junior at Notre Dame, I went to a counselor and asked, I didn't know what I wanted to do. And he said, make a list and just keep writing things and something might come to you that really appeals to you. So I started writing and I call it my list of 1,000 jobs. And the only thing I didn't have on there is what I'm doing. So I had no idea this was going to evolve back in 1971 when I graduated. It was kind of my friendship with the band, being out in California. And then what really kind of cemented things, in 74, we were playing Southern Cal, and the guys wanted to go to the game. And I called Era and said, would I be allowed to bring the whole band? And he let me, and they never forgot it, and we got closer, and then the managers and stuff that were there brought me in with them, Irving Azoff, Howard Kaufman. They had a bunch of groups, and most of the people they had one or two people. Chicago, you had to deal with eight guys, and for them, it was better to have someone work with them, so that's kind of how I got started, and it just kind of evolved from there.
You're listening to WSBT's Game Day. We're talking football and music with Peter Chiavarelli and band members from Chicago. Wally, you were telling me coming up here and our weather and stuff is kind of a little foreign to you, although nice weather for you today.
You're looking pretty good with this Notre Dame shirt on right here.
Thank you.
You do a couple
Thank
extra
you.
Push-ups?
yeah, it makes me look more fit.
He thought it was going to be a TV show.
Oh. So.
No, this is cool weather for me, but, I'm enjoying, like Tris said, I'm so honored to be here. And Notre Dame band was amazing. We saw the drum. The kids do the drum circle last night. Right. I was in awe. I couldn't sleep last night. And this is an experience for me like I've never had one before. It's incredible. I'm looking forward to playing today, the halftime show.
And you're a percussionist, drummer, electrician. Yes. Yes. So you guys get to make all the music and stuff.
Yeah, we're the engine.
How do you guys how many times in the stadium have you played? Third, fourth?
This is our third.
Third time and stuff. Yeah. Watching rehearsal yesterday, some of you guys were jumping around. I mean, like college kids and everything. Does it? I mean, Notre Dame Stadium really exciting. I mean, to us here, sometimes maybe we take it too much for granted.
Oh, no, absolutely. And today with with all the people in the stadium, it's going to be even more so. I'll be levitating off my drum stool probably.
Well, you know, being your third time, you've seen, I'm sure, the changes within the stadium. What was it like walking in there last night, going through and seeing all the updates, the big screen? You know, what were your thoughts on that, the updates?
I was absolutely awestruck. I mean, I've seen, like, pro-level stadiums that don't come close to what this is at Notre Dame now. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. And every part of it, the Jumbotron, the architecture, all that metalwork. And
what about the acoustics? How are the acoustics?
Well, it's a stadium. So for a stadium, they're great.
Well, they added the press box on the opposite side now. Does it hold the sound in a little bit better than over the past couple of years?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So if I go in there and you guys need me to sing today, I'd sound pretty good.
Well, that's good to know. That's really good to know.
Peter, is that one of the big challenges is playing a stadium with a 400-member band?
No. Pretty much Dr. Day and Sam Sanchez and Larry Merton and everybody, Matt Merton, Larry Dwyer, they have it all down pat, and we go in there, and it's basically, it's so perfected, it's just a snap. They work with Lee Lackney, our trumpet player, and they put it all together because Lee's kind of our guy for anything with technology and music. He's like a genius with it, and he puts it together with them, and we go in, and it would seem like when you look at this today, you're going to say, oh, my God. This is amazing how they did it. Probably the biggest problem we had was synchronizing the Jumbotron with our regular video, because our regular video has three big screens, mm-hmm. and when they showed it to me on the computer, it looked great. When I saw it up there, Central Park was like a little stamp with the other screens around, so we had to change that and work through the night to get that. But we got Mike Bonner and Eric King that runs the stadium, and Paco. They did a great job along with our guys. So the video is going to be real impressive. I think that's what's going to really separate this show from the others. Musically, it'll be just as good as the others, but that video board makes such a difference.
You're listening to the WSBT Game Day Show. We're talking football and music with Peter Chiavarelli and the band, members of Chicago. Well, do we get to know what the set list is for today, or is that a surprise?
That's a pretty simple. You already have half of it and you played.
All right.
Uh-oh. I'm going to get in trouble now.
You jumped the gun there, huh? Well, let's talk a little football. What have you seen from the Irish so far this year, Peter, and what are you thinking for today's game?
I'm really impressed. What really impressed me was watching what we did to Boston College and people saying, oh, they weren't that good, and then they go out and beat Louisville, and then what we did to Michigan State, and they go out and cripple Michigan. So I don't think the people realize yet how good this team is. At that one-point loss to Georgia, Georgia is virtually, number three, I think, mm-hmm. there.
Yes, correct.
And I'm sure within 3 weeks they keep winning, they're going to move up even more. So I don't see Penn State winning all the next 3 weeks. I think that would be pretty hard for them to do. And, of course, what it comes down to, we got a six-week season.
Mm-hmm.
We win our six games. Georgia wins theirs, we'll play them again, and probably in the Final Four. So it's a one game at a time season.
Trish, so you were telling me before the show that you've got some ties to USC too. How's that work out?
Oh yeah, I've got to admit it. Peter always gives me some heat too. But anyway, my dad actually played for a short time at USC, and then he transferred to BYU, and my mom the first year they had cheerleaders at USC. They called them song leaders. She was one of them.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, you could say I have some ties. But I
so you don't have some USC colors underneath there,
no,
do you?
I'm not hiding anything, no. Truth be told, no, I've got a Notre Dame jersey under
there.
All
right. There we go. So, what number are you repping today?
Well, that's a secret.
And my daughter graduated from USC.
Yeah, so I was going to say, they've got all ties to USC.
Liliana.
Is she here?
No.
What does she think of the shirt that you're wearing?
Oh,
then?
She doesn't even
she
know.
Doesn't
she's
know.
On tour with George Benson.
Let's get a picture of her.
She's not in. But, yeah, but this whole, talking about being in USC and being now in Notre Dame this weekend, I tell you, I'm super impressed with Notre Dame. This is the first time that I toured the whole campus. It's pristine. Everybody's so friendly. I mean, no wonder people, after they graduate here, they want to stay here and live. Who wants to get out into the real world? It's amazing, Notre Dame.
Was there a favorite spot on campus that you really enjoyed?
Well, we went to the grotto. We went to the basilica. That was amazing. In fact, there was thousands of ladybugs on top of the entrance of the basilica. That's amazing to me. It was like a miracle of the ladybugs. But it was really great. I mean, it's a fantastic weekend. I'm enjoying. Today's Lee Lockney's birthday and Jeff Coffey's wedding anniversary. So we're celebrating more celebrations.
So after the win tonight, there's going to be an all-out celebration.
Yes.
Peter, you go all over the world and stuff. So at Notre Dame, recognizable everywhere?
Oh, yes. I mean, you know, it's kind of the same thing that Chicago has in common. Any place we go in the world, they either know the music, the logo, whatever, and kind of the same thing with Notre Dame. People relate to it. They know about it. Sometimes that's all they know about is the football. But, you know, they kind of – and we're getting more presence because now we're actually really building up Notre Dame in Rome. We have a building now. If you go on the roof, you can see right into the Colosseum. And they're going to have more classes. So I think as it expands through Europe, it's going to be even greater.
Wow. We got like 1 minute. We'd be remiss if we didn't talk about how Chicago and you are contributing to Aeroparsegian's research. I think it's been over 20 years, some of the proceeds.
Yes. We started in 1994, taking a dollar donation on every ticket that we got, sending it on to ERA. And now once Notre Dame took over the research, we've kept it up and we've incorporated Coach Kelly in there. We used to do Hannah and Friends for 7-8 years. Now we're doing Coach Kelly and the ERA Foundation. Our hope was, and we've raised with the benefit concerts, everything, probably over several million for ERA, but we were hoping that he could have sought a cure while he was still living, just like I wanted him to see the statue while he was still alive. You know, I hate when they honor somebody when they're dead. They Correct. Put up a statue and stuff, but, you know, ERA knew all the way to the end that we were with them, and the guys have been just incredibly great for everything with them.
Well, guys, we appreciate you taking some time today. Enjoy the game. Excited to see the performance, Peter, Tris, and Wally. Great weather, so go get some tailgating on, and we'll see you at the game.
Go Irish.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley on your home for Fighting Irish Football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT.
Bob Gaglio joins Nick Eddy and Rocky Dwyer to receive for Notre Dame. Jim Fletcher will kick off for the Boilermakers. He approaches the football. There it is. Long, high, end over end. Taken by Eddy at the 3. Back to the 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, and they'll never catch Nick Eddy. 40, 30, 20, 10. Touchdown, Notre Dame.
You're listening to the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley on your home for Fighting Irish Football, 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT. We're also brought to you by Budweiser and United Beverage, Carmella's at McCree's, Creative Colors International, Food Bank of Northern Indiana, and Hearth and Home. We just got done talking to Peter Chivarelli and the band members from Chicago. I've never seen you smile so big.
I tell you what. How can you go back when you think of, like you said, your first concert? Yeah. Everybody knows their first concert that they went to. I've been fortunate enough. I've seen them like 4 or 5 times. Peter is one of those I've tried to get on for years. He still lives here in South Bend.
You see him everywhere on the sideline. You know, he's always down on the sideline.
And I talked to him about the same way. Like, Era stayed here in South Bend. Tom Pagna stayed. There's so many coaches. You know, it speaks well of South Bend that people end up and make this home. Now, Peter's got homes all over the world.
Right. Well, Peter and I were joking, too. He has a lounge named after him. And
yes.
I haven't been able to go in there because I haven't paid my monogram dues. So he gave me a hard time about that.
Yeah, well, maybe you'll get to play that. Stuff
well,
too.
We're live here right now, Ivy Court Inn and Suites. If you're in the area, stop by our tailgate. We've got a lot of food. We've got some barbecue from Fisher's Tips and Chips. There's always fun people stopping by. One of those individuals right now is what we're describing as a gritty linebacker who played at Notre Dame.
You know what? I was looking for words to describe that.
That's been thrown out a lot this year.
I know. You're right. And I'm glad you brought that up because I wasn't going to use it, but I thought if anybody should be a definition of that, using that word, this our next guest
will
be
that. I've heard, and I don't know if it's a rumor, and maybe we can get this confirmed, that Jarrett Grace, he hit harder on the football field than any Notre Dame football player in the history of Notre Dame football.
Comment?
Well, I think that's saying a lot, Evan. You know, there's been some tremendous guys that have put on the pads before me, and my time on the field wasn't lengthy due to injury, but you know, I'm honored by that comment. I think I always tried to lay the wood, you know, if that's an appropriate phrase, when I played the game. So, yeah, that's awesome.
Well, Jarrett, let's jump right in. It's USC week. Talk to us about what that's like. You know, there's no love loss. There's hatred, maybe you could even say. But what was your experience while you're here at Notre Dame and playing the Trojans?
Certainly. You know what's great about this week is that the team had a bye week leading up to this game just to let their blood boil a little bit extra. you know how that is. But USC, it's a different culture than what we have in Notre Dame. We pride ourselves being blue collar, majority Midwest kids. You know, we have a pool from all over, but we just view them as like opposite end of the spectrum. The fancy guys, you know, Hollywood. We're not about that. So. It's like God versus the devil right now. You know, we have the good colors, they have the ugly colors, and we're going to go in there. We're going to kick their butt. It just so happens it's a home game, so we're going to handle our business.
I think that's another version of Catholics versus Convicts.
It is. It is.
Maybe you need to make the shirt.
That might be another 30-30 special.
Yeah. Let's do it. You heard it here first.
Well, Jared, let's rewind a little bit. Talk to us about, you know, what we love is we usually have a lot of guys from some older generations. Right. We miss out on a lot of younger guys, you know, myself included. But we've had Torian Smith on here before. He's always a gem to talk to. Robbie Paris. John Goodman's been on here. Robbie Toma's been on here as well.
Tommy Reese used to come on before he became a coach.
That's right. But what we love to hear is the stories of what led you to Notre Dame. So talk to us about your recruitment and then your time here. Obviously, you talked a little about the injury side of things. Mm. What was that like? And then bring us up to speed on what's going on right now.
Yeah, let's do it. So Notre Dame, I had some interest from them prior to Coach Kelly, the Charlie Weiss era. Visit up here. Everything was great about it except the football end. You know, it was kind of a trying time. It wasn't, you know, things weren't on the up and up, but Coach Kelly had it going on at Cincinnati. That was undeniable. You know, a couple BCS bowl games, and I'm a Cincinnati kid, you know, so they were speaking right to my heart, you know, all those things at Cincinnati. But Notre Dame, you know, that's whatever college you want to talk about, 2.0, everything magnified. So when they came here, it was pulling on all my heartstrings. I'm a Catholic kid, you know, it's very blue collar, and that's what Coach Kelly was preaching. I think the term he used early on was RKGs, the right kind of guys. Mm-hmm. Now, I would never call myself that, but other people did, so I bought into that big time. I want to be the right kind of guy. I want to do things the right way and win and have excellence. So just to take care of, you know, the football end of things, academic, you know, the spiritual side of things, it was a no-brainer. As many people say when they choose Notre Dame, it's either right fit or it's not. And for me, it was. It was a tremendous opportunity. Could not say no. Fast forward to things now, you know, it did fulfill me in all those aspects of my life. I'm now working for a great company in Stryker Orthopedics. It prepared me, you know, to take on, you know, a rigorous, you know, work schedule, work-life balance. And I think Notre Dame football specifically prepared me to do, you know, to excel in all those areas of professional life.
This is WSBT's Game Day, and we're talking with the 2013 Rockne Student Athlete Award winner.
All right.
Speaking That's of mixing right. athletics and sports together, you know, a good friend of our show who's been on numerous times is Dr. Brian Radigan.
Oh, wow.
So that's where I get some of the grittiness and talking to and everything. So probably by ad nauseum, you've been sick and tired of talking about all that. Anything.
Yeah.
But I just want to ask you the drive that kept you going after such – being faced with such adversity, and there were setbacks along the way, I'm sure, you know, the what just kept driving you.
Yes, you know, we have this beautiful portrait in our locker room. And Coach Kelly says as well, you know, the pride and tradition of Notre Dame football is not to be left to the weak, timid, or uncommitted. And it's a picture that has, you know, workmen, guys, blue collar, you know, lunch pail, their hard hat. And to me, I always thought I was that kind of guy. And just because times are tough, whatever it was, if it was tough in the game, tough, you know, during rehab sessions or recovery, you know, it wasn't going to be left to the uncommitted. And to me, whatever my role was, I was going to excel in that. Even if that was rehabbing with Mike Bean or, you know, Rob Hunt or an extra surgery with Brian Radigan, I had to do my end to fulfill my commitment to Notre Dame. I felt like I owed it to them to get back onto the field just because I'm not going to take a free ride here. You know, that's not what it's all about. We're here to, you know, pursue excellence on and off the field. And you said the Rockne, you know, heritage, you know, scholarship athlete thing. And, you know, that's just the standard that was set. It was to excel in every aspect of your life. And you're doing it, and if you're doing anything less than that, then you're not doing yourself justice. You're not doing the team justice. You're not, you know, you're not doing justice to your teammates as well that expect you to live up to that high standard.
Jarrett, you're talking about these standards, and you know, as a team, you guys saw some success. You right. also saw some seasons, and maybe underachieved to a certain extent. Talk a little bit about you know. Looking at last year, and you've been, you know, you're part of Coach Kelly's, I guess, the culture that he was trying to build. And he's talked a lot about that this past offseason and trying to rebuild that. Talk to us a little bit about what you saw last year, kind of that caveat, and then now really almost like a rebirth or re-renaissance or a renaissance of here's what we stand for and then, you know, how that has translated now into the field right. in 2017.
Right. I'll start off by saying I was extremely blessed to have – incredible teammates during my time here, incredible leaders, people that were just incredibly driven to just do their best on the field and were extremely committed to the cause. And when I graduated, a lot of those guys left, which it seemed like there was a void last season. And no fault really to those guys. It was just that there was so many incredibly driven, you know, guys in that locker room that what do we do now? Mm-hmm. You know, that's gone. And it took a little bit of infusion on the coaching, you know, the coaching end to kind of kick those guys in the butt. Like, hey, like, you guys are leaders too. Like, just because we had so many guys leave doesn't mean that there's still not, you know, those type of mentalities, guys, the, you know, the potential to lead. And what I see now is, you know, guys embracing that. Like, okay, like, I do have this ability to, you know, to lead, to excel on the field, to motivate in whatever type of way that is. And it's exciting to see. It's exciting to see the fun. As well, I think that's the biggest thing that I've noticed this year is guys have fun. It's always fun winning, but if you can't just capture that love of the game no matter what's going on, then you're missing the whole point, right? Because we're not professionals yet. You know, it's Notre Dame. It's a collegiate thing, and you have to have love for the university, love for your teammates. And if that's there, then good things happen. Special things take place on the field.
Well, it's been quite a turnaround, this Irish defense under Mike Elko. Clark Lea coaching the linebackers. I'm not sure if you had an opportunity to talk to him. Great guy. It's, you know, it's been almost a complete turnaround and you talk about, you know, playing free and loose and that energy and excitement, creating turnovers, getting off the field on third down. Talk to me about today. What are your expectations? And then if you would give us a score prediction.
Yeah. You mentioned Coach Clark, and I keep pretty close contact with Greer, Niles, Tavon. They love the guy. Mm-hmm. He is speaking to their heart. He's getting those guys motivated. They love the game. It's passionate. I'm honestly jealous. I'm envious. They're out there flying around.
Right?
They're causing turnovers, right? They're causing turnovers, which is great. And, you know, you talk about tonight, I expect to see more of the same. They've been consistent in that end all year. Take away the Georgia game. We've run away from every opponent this entire season. USC has not done that. They've had close games. Western Michigan, that was a close game. That should not be a close game if you're USC, and I'm doing air quotes right now for those that can't see. And I expect Notre Dame to handle business. I've been praying for a cold front to come in around 7 o'clock.
That's what I told the Chicago guys. We wish it was real cold.
Yeah. Maybe even some lake effect snow. It's almost November. Anything
it could
can happen.
I'm
predicting at least a one touchdown win. You know, our O-line's going to handle business. Josh Adams, Dexter Williams, you know, that trio guys, they're going to run away, control the line of scrimmage, control the clock. Oh, man. 31-24. I think we'll put up some points. Let's force some turnovers on that quarterback. You know, I don't even want to say his name. Notre Dame victory. We'll handle business.
Well, awesome. Well, Jarrett, thank you so much for stopping by. Enjoy this beautiful weather, and I guess seek shelter around 7:30 once that snow front comes in. Thanks. You're listening to the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley on your home for Fighting Irish football. We're live from the porch of Ivy Court Inn and Suites. To get a reservation for your out-of-town guests or to book your own getaway, call the Ivy Court team at 574-277-6500. We'll be right back with more football talk on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM, W.
From Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend, Indiana, the 49th meeting between the Trojans of Southern California and the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame.
We're back for the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley, live from the Ivy Court Inn and Suites. The Game Day Show is brought to you by Kurt Outdoor Living, LKQ Pick Your Part, Zollman's Tire and Auto, Legacy Heating and Air, and we have Fisher's Tips and Chips out here. We got a lot of people out here eating the barbecue right now. I sure hope there's some left for us, Tim.
You know, I just love having the big crowds out here. This is like Dick Vitale crowds. Whenever we have Dick on, Dickie V on, I mean, there's people all over getting autographs. People are getting pictures everywhere. All of our guests are super nice as usual. The Shillelagh. We've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about it.
Let me read you exactly what the Jeweled Shillelagh is.
Lay this on me.
A foot-long Gaelic war club. From Ireland, made of oak or blackthorn saplings, bedazzled, sounds like one of my daughters, with ruby-adorned Trojan heads and emerald-studded shamrocks that represent each team's respective victories.
So do you have one of those at your house?
Nothing anywhere close. I've got a lot of, sometimes my girls will bedazzle, you know how they bedazzle their dads?
Yeah.
I have to sit there and get all this stuff put on me, but nothing like the Shillelagh.
Well, I talked about this yesterday on the Sean and Sharpley show about why I know all about the
Showdropper?
Yeah, about all the the rivalry trophies.
Right.
So back when I played, we'd have a on Thursdays prior to the game, we'd have a personnel test. And, of course, you know, if you were starting, and this started when I was freshman, sophomore year, so Brady Quinn was the quarterback at the time. If you're a starter, you are getting a question on who was on the opposing team. So it could have been like, you know, who the Mike linebacker is or who the safety was or, you know, what blitz scheme they were going to run. My question out of nowhere one week was, what rivalry trophy are we playing for? I had no idea on most of those. You know, you play for the Megaphone against Michigan State. Purdue, there's a Shillelagh too. And then you have the Jeweled Shillelagh here for USC. So I started reading up every week on these rivalry games, and I started getting all of them right, and at the time it was who could stump me. So each Thursday it was like getting more and more obscure each question. You're digging deeper into UND.com and trying to find, you know, in this lengthy, you know, especially when you're playing teams where you have a huge history with them, there's a lot of interesting fun facts that I was trying to memorize. But I made sure and brushed up on all of these rivalry games to make sure I knew what I was talking about.
Did you put your answer in the form of a question?
No.
Jeopardy?
No, I did not.
Hey, let me ask you, and we're going to go to a break in a little bit because we're going to come back with a commercial-free last 20 minutes of the show because we got all the 97.
That's pretty rare, isn't it?
It is. But let me ask you, where do you come down on the philosophy when a coach comes into a place like Notre Dame? Some really want to embrace it, and they take their kids all over campus, and they take them to the Grotto, and they take them to the Dome and everything, and other ones, they don't want their players to know anything about what's going on. Where would you come down if you had a team?
A team coming, like an opposing team?
Yeah, an opposing team coming in. Where would you come in on that? And I know it's kind of hard being a Golden Domer yourself to separate yourself.
I wouldn't have them tour campus. Okay. I mean, I think, you know, I wouldn't say that there's necessarily a home field advantage inside the stadium where it's you know, to the same noise level as maybe Michigan or Penn State, but where people can get lost in losing focus is kind of in the lore, in the tradition of things, in the beauty of campus. It's Notre Dame. There's a lot of history, and I think, you know, coaches, when they come in, they'd like to balance that to a certain extent, especially if it's a team that maybe doesn't play here every year or every other year. But if I was a coach and I'm bringing a team in, we can do that some other time. You know, it's usually a business trip when you head to an opposing team stadium, and that's how you want to keep it.
And kind of looking back over the history, what I kind of saw, it wasn't an in-depth look, but I looked at some. It seemed like the teams that did that, where they came and looked at the campus and went all over and everything, were not the major, major programs like a USC or Georgia.
Correct.
I think Chuck Martin, because he coached here, he just took his team all around. Maybe that tends to happen more with ex-coaches in Notre Dame, that they want people to feel what they felt or something.
I would assume that'd be the case. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, give me one key here, not a key to the victory, but just one thing to look for before we go to break.
Well, you know, I think everyone's talking about quarterback Sam Darnold of USC, and, you know, he's thrown for 2,000 yards so far this year, 15 touchdowns. So he's on pace to throw the same number of touchdowns he did last year, but he has 9 interceptions. He's turned the ball over a couple of times on the ground last week. There's a lot of focus on him. You know, I think if USC is going to have success, it's going to come with running back Ronald Jones. It's not necessarily going to be on Sam Darnold. So, you know, I'm looking for Notre Dame to really focus on trying to stop the run early and make Darnold win the game. And so far this year, you know, he hasn't consistently done that. Granted, you know, they're 6-1 at this point, so they have won some football games, but they have been close, and Jarrett brought that up. You know, that this is it's a different type of team that they're going to be playing this week, where, you know, Notre Dame has been competitive for 4 quarters. You know, even against Georgia, it was late. It came down to the end of the game. So you have a very physically conditioned team in Notre Dame coming off of a bye, a rivalry game. You know, I think fans should be excited for a really good matchup tonight.
What a beautiful weather game too. I mean, I think it's going to be even the low to mid 60s for most of the game tonight too. So
it's perfect.
I know we would have liked to have had all that big snowstorm for USC and everything, but for our fans and everybody, it's nice to sit
if
out
I'm
there.
Playing, I don't want snow.
Oh, of course you don't. No. But we'll take the nice weather and stuff too. On your home for Notre Dame football, 96.1 FM WSBT, this is Game Day with Evan Sharpley. We'll be right back with All-America Bob Goley.
And so we're in for the punt now with Marty King. Blocked it, rush, blocked it. Golick got it. Notre Dame has the ball. Golick blocked it. Number 75, Jay Case comes up with it. And how do you do?
Welcome back to the Game Day Show. I'm your host, Evan Sharpley, alongside my producer, State Farm agent Tim Grawl. If you need to give him a call for insurance, 232-9981. We're on the steps here of Ivy Court Inn and Suites. A beautiful day in South Bend, and we're joined by former All-American Bob Golick. Bob, it's always great to have you here. You doing all right?
I appreciate it. Yeah, I wouldn't come here without stopping by.
You come here to see us, right?
Absolutely. This whole thing is a perk. I mean, the whole part of being on a radio and talking and stuff is, now that's just the, I just love watching you guys work.
Well, in all seriousness.
I know it's kind of creepy.
In all seriousness. In all seriousness, why are you here on campus right now?
I don't know.
Well, I think there's something going on, right? There's an anniversary?
We've gotten to the age now where they actually print on our shirt what we're doing. It's kind of like...
help you out where to go?
If you find this boy...
And for those of you on radio, right, listening,
yeah,
right now, it says 1977, 2017, 77, 40th anniversary, national champs.
Bob, yep. What do they have you doing this weekend? Have there been some events?
They actually tried to get some of us to play.
All right.
Tonight, but
You're not ready for that one?
No. I'm one of the few guys that actually owns his own joints still. I mean, a lot of replacement joints. But we had a couple of get-togethers. We did a thing last night, a little get-together, and went to the pep rally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just a lot of stuff, hanging out, talking about the old days.
What's the buzz been like on campus for this game?
I think everybody's pretty excited about it. I mean, it's nobody's really talking specifically, at least my guys. You know, our guys aren't talking specifically about this game. When you get a bunch of guys that are 40 years ago won the national championship, we start talking about playing USC 40 years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, then talk to us about that. Give us a, you know, maybe your best memory of playing the
Green shirt game.
The green jersey
there we
game.
Go.
That's right.
Yeah. That's without a doubt. I mean, that has to be it, because the idea that we went out, and they had been talking green stuff at pep rally the night before. Digger was up there going, green machine. We get to the locker room. The socks have green stripes across the top. And I'm thinking, that's kind of cool. And maybe that's what Digger meant. And then we went back in after we warmed up, went back in, and I looked up, and there's this green shirt sitting in the locker. I thought it was like a souvenir thing, like, hey, Notre Dame USC button heads. And I think it was Terry Urich said, hey, put them on. And we killed each other. I mean, it's... The one thing we didn't have in that locker room was there's a lot of things we didn't have, but we didn't have any mirrors. And we were fighting over mirrors to see how good we looked.
Was the game pretty much a done deal at that point, you think?
You know, we knew we had to play, but
sure.
Guys were so jacked up at that point. And that and the fans and, you know, the way they just the sound and then seeing all the – seeing the horse being pulled out. I mean, there was just – every part of that day was like the perfect – thing to put us over the top on that game. It was spectacular. And I remember coming down the tunnel. We got into the tunnel, and USC was coming out the other side from their locker room, and we're coming out in the green jerseys. I remember a couple of their guys like looked at our jersey and they go, "Oh, jeez." They shook their head, put their head down, shook their heads like, "Oh, this is going to be a long one."
This is WSBT's game day, and we're talking with 1977. Championship team, All-American Bob Golic. There's so many things there I have to keep saying as descriptions for you and stuff too.
And so I'm trying to whittle it down.
Have you settled on one thing yet?
Bob.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We like that. Tell me again about the horse, because I forgot about that. What was the deal with the Trojan horse for that game too?
Oh yeah, they had built a big giant horse. I mean, I thought they were going to try and jam us all into it. I'm saying, I mean, a couple guys, maybe the kicker. You know, Joey Eunice could get in there, but that's about it. But, yeah, it was just, I guess it was the students had made it, and they had ropes on it, and they're pulling it in, and we kind of followed it through. And
I forgot about it.
And I'll never forget, people were cheering and stuff because of the horse, and then we came out in these green jerseys, and it's like they lost their mind. I mean, I couldn't even hear anything. I couldn't hear voices. I just heard this throng of people just screaming and yelling and cheering. People were so geeked when they saw us in our green jerseys.
Well, I mean, USC week always brings out the best. We talked with a couple other guys, you know, Jarrett Grace, who played the past couple years against USC. Great rivalry. What have you seen so far? I know you stay very plugged into sports and obviously Notre Dame too. What have you seen so far from Notre Dame this year and how they match up with USC tonight?
Well, how they match up, it's always one of the games that between Notre Dame and USC where statistics and matchup there, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the things you kind of skip past just about every time. I think that I don't know. It seems like Notre Dame's got a pretty good offense running. We've got Kaiser over there in Cleveland now, so we're trying to.
How's that going?
all right. It's going okay. We like him.
He's back starting this week.
He is starting this week. Yeah, yeah.
That's the best thing you can say right now, right?
Yeah. Evidently, he had a really good offensive line here because he likes to hold the ball for a really long time.
I heard he called a player or a offensive players only meeting. Is that true recently?
You know what? I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. I'm on the outside looking in now, so they didn't call media and say, come on in.
Yeah, let's go. Well, so. How about the defense? What have you liked from the defense so far? You know, brand new coordinator, new scheme, new energy. What have you liked from them so far?
Well, again, when you say energy, that's kind of where I was going to go. You can do one of two things. You know, sit there and you know, just wait for them to come to you and make the play or attack. And I just like, I like watching. Just they seem more aggressive than they had in the past. And again, you can play it that way or you can play it a little more relaxed. But it seems like they're more aggressive chasing things down. And the one thing that I was taught from way a long time ago was if you're not near the ball, get to the ball.
That seems pretty simple, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even if you're somebody else is making the tackle, run over there. You know, get over there, and because you never know if the guy's going to cut back or whatever. And when you start seeing these just gigantic piles of green jerseys or blue jerseys, you just realize, man, that's just the other team. Well, an offense seeing something like that or experiencing something like that, they're just they don't know what to do.
Outside of when you're not by the ball, go by the ball, what was the scheme that you guys played and kind of what was the mentality or philosophy on your defense?
We actually played a, 5-2, which basically is, like a 3-4, mm-hmm. but we called the outside backers defensive ends or something. I forget how we did that. Yeah, nose tackle, tackles, ends. And about a quarter of the time I played up on the nose. And about three quarters of the time, they would move me back into the middle. They would kick the inside linebackers out a little bit, and they spread out the linemen. And it was more of a, those guys go up there, hit the gaps, control the gaps, And, you know, lucky for me, I think a lot of it was around keeping the blockers off of me. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like the way they had it drawn up, the way we executed it, like the Texas game. And we were just watching some of our our own highlights. You know, we forget we've been hitting the head a lot, but yeah. But I mean, seeing that, and I go, yeah. But I had like 18 tackles on Earl Campbell that day, and I watched some of them, and I'm thinking, I was like wide open. And so, you know, obviously somebody's doing something right in our defense, a defensive lineman, or somebody on their team's doing something really wrong.
Tim Growl and Evan Sharpley at the Ivy Court Inn. We're talking with All-American Bob Golic. Bob, this is a big recruit weekend. I think 60 to 80 mm-hmm. people they're talking about coming in. Was there such a thing back when you were? Did they invite you to big games back in when you were recruited?
No. I wrestled in high school, and we wrestled on Saturday nights. And so when I had to visit on Sundays. I would fly in Sunday mornings. And by then, all the parties were over. People were trying to get back, and they were going to, you know, do homework. I got to write a paper. And so when I got here, it'll show you what year. It was 1975. I got here. They took me into the ACC. And they said, you know, here's this where the basketball team plays. And it's all dark except for the scoreboard. And he points up at the scoreboard, and it looks, and it says, I forget what the score was, Notre Dame beats UCLA. He goes, we broke their 88-game streak last night. I'm going, wow, I mean, that's pretty cool.
That was it right there, that day for you?
That's what put me over the top. But, you know, just meeting some of the guys. And I never got to do a lot of the fun stuff because Saturdays, like I said, Friday, Saturdays, I couldn't come in for. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know, just the feel of this place was just incredible. I mean, walking around on the campus, some of the places were just big, and it just seemed like, here you felt like you're a part of it. A big part of it, not just a cog in the wheel.
And I think, you know, what's been very unique is, I mean, campus has changed so much over the years, yet you still hear from every player there's a uniqueness or there's a feel about it.
Yeah.
You know, walking through campus, seeing the stadium, what has that been like with all the changes, even over the past, you know, the past year?
Yeah. Well, like I think it was my second year here. I was coming across the South Quad, and I was walking by the Rockne Memorial, the old pool. You know, back
that's
then,
where I used to work out.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right. They had I think they had weights, and that was about it. You could pick up rocks.
Right.
They had rocks for weights. We didn't have fancy stuff. But I was walking, and I see the Rockne stuff, and I'm reading about Rockne, and I'm like, you know what? I'm actually playing football at the same place that Newt Rockne is playing. And I for some reason it just hit me that afternoon how special that was. That this wasn't just about me getting a scholarship to come play football and make tackles, but it was about I was part of something huge and something just so memories and everything just crazy. And at that point, it changed my view on a lot of things. But I think it really upped my love of this place, because I think a lot of guys these days, they're, you know, I mean, look in the NFL. These guys are running around. If they make a tackle, they could be losing by 40 points. They make a tackle, they jump up and down like they just, you know, cured cancer. And it's crazy. And but when you feel and you know you're a part of something, something that is just fantastic as Notre Dame history, that's so much more special than just being, you know, thinking you're the star. You know, we're not the star. We're just one of the years that came by and worked hard and got a national championship game. And then we're all good with that because we're part of it. We're part of the history.
And you mentioned,
and the older we get, more history.
Well, yeah,
damn it.
You mentioned the feel of, you know, of seeing Coach Rockne and seeing and kind of feeling that they call it the house that Rockne built.
Yeah.
Do you feel like they did a nice job with the updates and still honoring the tradition, honoring him? You know, they updated a lot of different things within the concourse,
right.
You know, the Jumbotron. What are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, no, I think they did great. I think that it looks great. And by the way, I didn't know Rockne personally.
Oh, I heard you did.
I had never met him.
Not that much history.
Yeah. I watched Newt Rockne All-American a lot of times, yeah. Though. You know, just everything they do here is about the history of this place. And they always do a great job with it, commemorating things. I mean, we just, a few years ago, we got a Dan Devine statue up there. And, we looked at him going, hey, they got all these statues, and our guy is not there. And, you know, got a national championship. So it's all about history. And anybody who loves Notre Dame knows what it's about, knows that that's a part of the big thing.
Have you, when your statue is made, have you come up with your pose? What you're going to pose? Is it like
No, not. What is that?
That's why it's radio.
You know what? Yeah, it's right.
No one knows. No one knows.
Unless I explain it. it would probably be something, it would probably be something close to the ground. Yeah, that seemed to, most of my life I've played really close to the ground. Yeah. So if everybody'd be looking at the other coach and go, oh, look at that, look at these things, then they'd come by and look down at me and going,
We got a couple minutes left, so let me tax your memory one more time for the 1977 season. So barely beat Pittsburgh in the first game, lost to Mississippi, down a half, down pretty decent to Purdue in the third game. And then all the rest of the way, kicktail the rest of the way. What changed?
I think that Coach obviously wasn't thrilled. And, you know, in the preseason, the training camp coming in, we knew we were a really good team because we just felt like that we had our chemistry was good and the players were just fantastic. And, this shouldn't have been happening to us. I told my wife the other day, I said, we went to Mississippi, to Ole Miss. And we got in the bus and they're getting ready to take us to the hotel. And I look out and there's a motorcycle cop with arms bigger than any of the guys on the football team. And I'm thinking, this could be trouble. The cops have bigger muscles than we do. But, you know, we played hard. And I don't think anybody got down with the loss at Mississippi. I think they just saw it as, hey, you know what? We won. Let's keep getting better. So, it wasn't a matter of finding your way to get emotionally back. I think we were fine. We just knew that we had to play better.
Well, that's what we want to do today, play better, right? For all four quarters. All four quarters and stuff.
Three keys to the game and a prediction for tonight, Bob, before we let you go.
Three keys to the game, prediction. I'll go prediction first, Notre Dame. That's because when I'm in Cleveland, I pick the Browns all the time, too. Because I don't mind being wrong in Cleveland, but I won't be wrong here. Keys, I don't know. It's just, go out there, play aggressively on defense and, take the chances. Take the chances on offense, open up a little bit. And I don't know. I'm excited to watch these guys.
Got a score pick, you think? High scoring, low scoring, in between?
I'm going to go 24-17, Notre Dame.
So to put that in context, what's the score you usually predict for Cleveland?
24.
Same?
16.
16.
With them winning, though.
Yeah, with them winning.
Well, Bob, hey, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure having you on the
pleasure,
show.
My pleasure, guys.
Until next year, right?
We'll be back.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, guys.
All right, now we're going to do some keys to ensure an Irish victory from Evans. What do you got, partner?
Well, I kind of went back and forth on this game all week. I think it's going to be really a made-for-TV game. I think if both teams come and play the way that they should play. For Notre Dame to win this game and ensure a victory, I'm looking, it's business as usual on the defensive side. They've done a great job on third down. They've also done a great job of creating some turnovers. This is going to be the best quarterback they've faced up to this point, a pure passer who can hurt them with arms. So it's going to be about stopping the run. They have a very talented running back in Jones and forcing Darnold to win the game, Sam Darnold to win the game. He's been a little suspect as far as turning the football over. I think if Notre Dame is able to, again, business as usual, to create some turnovers, it's going to put their offense in a great opportunity to win this football game. On the offensive side, control the line of scrimmage. I know it's coach speak, but you got to be able to control the line of scrimmage. A balance of run, which they've done, and then also getting Brandon Wimbush going in the passing game and being very efficient there. They protected the football, got to do that to win the football game. And then lastly, looking at special teams, hidden yardage on punts, kickoff returns, pinning teams deep, and I think it could come down to a field goal. I do have Notre Dame winning, but like I said, I think it's going to be a close game. I'm looking at 31-30 Irish.
31-30. Evan, I want to thank all of our guests. Big thank you out to Matt back in the studio and Jeremy right here on site. Please plan to join Evan and I next week at 11 a.m. as we'll be back right outside here at the Ivy Court Inn and Suites getting ready for North Carolina State. Plan to come out, get some autographs and pictures with our guests, and enjoy some Fisher's Barbecue. Don't go anywhere as Fighting Irish football coverage continues with Darren, Eric, Sean, right after with today's Irish Trojan game on Budweiser's Game Day Sports Beat. Immediately following them, it will be the official Notre Dame pregame show. Then it's kickoff at just after 7:40 p.m. with Don Crickey and Alan Pinkett on the IMG Network. After the game, it's the official Notre Dame postgame show with Darren Pritchett and Reggie Brooks. All this on your home for Fighting Irish football, 96.1 FM WSBT. For Evan Sharpley, this is Tim Growl.
Go Irish!
The home.